morning, everybody. Buenos días. Let's begin the gospel meeting reading in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16 as well. Says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us a way of salvation. And did this she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And she came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them into the magistrates, saying, this man, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we all are here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. That's all that we're going to be reading right now. So we have here, Paul and Silas were heading to prayer. And then there was this woman who had an evil spirit in her. And he was yelling, these are the men who preach that God can save man. And we read that Paul turned to her and told the spirit to come out of her. And this woman was giving her masters a lot of money. So when the spirit came out of her, the money was gone for their masters. So obviously the masters got mad, they didn't like that, so they turned Paul and Silas to the prison. And we have here a jailer. Let me find it. Says in verse 24, who have received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks, talking about the jailer. He was put with such a responsibility of Paul and Silas that he had this such pressure on him, because these two men were really important for the authorities there. So they put him all the way into the inner prison. The jailer had a great responsibility in his hands, because if the prisoners fled, the punishment wasn't him. So he had a great responsibility. Can't imagine the job interview with him, like, and if the prisoner escapes, you're gonna pay with your life. And like, okay, I wouldn't do it, but that was his job. He had a great responsibility, and so do you. I would like to see us like if we were the jailer at that time. The responsibility that he had upon Paul and Silas, it was great. But you had a greater responsibility right now with your soul. And it's not some prisoners fleeting. It's your soul being in the lake of fire for eternity. You have a great, great responsibility upon yourself. So he had these prisoners like all the way back or all the way in the bottom, I don't know. But it was like really secure. He says that they tied their feet to some like a wood frame that had holes, and you put your feet in there. They close the frame and you're like secure in there. And suddenly there was a big earthquake. And he was sleeping, and the earthquake shake everything, the foundations, and all the doors were open, and the bands of the prisoners went loose. And he woke up, and seeing all of this, he was like, man, what do I do? He knew he had responsibility, and there were consequences for what he did or what he didn't do. If he went running to check all the prisoners or call everybody out, hey, come on, the prisoners might be lost. He had consequences for what he did or what he didn't do. And so do you. You have a great responsibility on your soul. You are facing consequences to what you do or what you don't do with your soul. He was paying with his life. He drew out his word, and he was going to kill himself. What a mistake he would have made. Because if he would have died that moment, he would be in hell for eternity. So what are you doing right now? Are you aware of your condition? You know that you have a responsibility upon yourself, and that there's going to be a consequence for what you choose to believe in this life. He was aware of his condition. Why? Because he feared. We read that Paul and Silas were praying and were singing. So he must have heard the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. So he knew what his condition was. He had conscience. So right now I would like you to be aware of what your condition is. If you are saved, you're good, because the Lord say that you will be in heaven if you accept him as your savior. But if you're not, there's going to be a great consequence for that. So he took him out of the prison, come out here, and he asked something. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? In order to ask that, he had to realize that he wasn't saved. So that's why I want you to be aware of your condition. If you are not saved, it means that you don't have a moment when you ask God for mercy. If I asked you, if you can look back at your life and see a moment and see what were you doing, what you were doing, and what was going through your mind, and said, yes, I have that moment. I remember that I turned to God and asked him for mercy, because I realized that he died for me, and I believed and I trusted him. If you have that moment, then the Bible says that all you have to do is believe, and if you believed, then you're saved. But what happens if you don't have that moment? If you know that you don't have that moment, it means that you're aware that you're not saved. And if you're not saved, all you have to do is believe. The Bible is the same. God is the same. God doesn't change. 2,000 years ago, it was the same message. Today is the same message. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That was the response of Paul and Silas to this jailer. And he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And right now is the same message to you. We preach salvation because salvation is of the Lord. It's not even ours. I didn't do anything for you. And like, I'm not getting paid to tell you this. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm not trying to prove you wrong. We are not trying to make you join some kind of group. We are simply, in the most humble way, just preaching the gospel to you, letting you know that God died on the cross 2,000 years ago for you. That is the same, very same message that Paul and Silas told to this jailer. And he was on his way to hell, but when he turned to God and he was saved, he was on his way to heaven. So I want you to be aware of your condition and to really know if you're saved or not. And if you're not, you are in great danger because you don't know when you're going to die. And that's when the opportunity is going to be close. In Mexico, we have a saying, a popular saying, says, nadie sabe lo que tiene hasta que lo ve perdido, which means that you don't know the true value of things until you lost them or you need them. Like, for example, I was thinking, we have a bunch of water bottles in our house sitting there, right? And you're comfortable laying in your bed. You don't know the value of those water bottles sitting in there till you're out in the heat working at 110 degrees outside and you want some water. That's when you know the value of the water that you have in your house. That's the same thing. Sadly, it's very, very common. And if you don't know the value of your soul right now, you will. But it might be too late. When you're facing God in Judgment Day and say, man, I wish I had the opportunity again. But it's going to be too late. Right now is the opportunity because you're alive and you're hearing the gospel. Again, the gospel is of God because salvation is of God, is of the Lord. Let's turn to Psalms 62 and verse 1. Psalm 62 and verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, for him cometh my salvation. Truly my soul waited upon God, for him cometh my salvation. Paul and Silas were singing and praying. They were in prison. They were hurt. They were in the darkness, and still they were praising God and singing, praying and singing. Why? Because their soul was resting in God. They had peace with God. Even though they were suffering at that moment, they knew that what was coming was way better. Way better. Heaven is something that's going to be forever. Even though you may suffer here in this earth, all of this is going to pass away. If you choose to live your life comfortably, if you choose to live your life the way you want to live, all of that's going away. It's going to stay here. Eternity is forever. Is your soul resting in God? The Bible is the same. The same message is preached unto you. You have your Bible probably in your home. So if you read this and you realize, man, I need to be safe, because that's what I did. I was laying in my bed at night, and I realized just that I was going to hell. But God did everything he had to do in order to get me to heaven. It was just simply a matter of believing and trusting in him and the sacrifice that he did for me. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that is the message that we're preaching to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The very same God that created everything, he created you. And our God is a loving God. He provided, even though we sinned, he provided salvation for your soul so that you can do, that you don't have to do anything because he already did everything. I don't know how to put it like simpler or clearer. It's just that simple because God did everything already. It's not that it's something really complicated that you have to go to this place, do that, or behave this way, and if you changed your behavior, you might lose your salvation. It's not complicated at all because he did the complicated thing. Something that neither you or I or nobody in this planet could have ever done, because we are all sinners. So salvation required someone that wasn't a sinner to pay for the sins of everybody. That's when Christ came into this world and he gave his life for you. So he did everything already. It's not complicated for you. It's just a gift that God is offering you. And all you have to do is take it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Be aware of your condition. Be aware if you're saved or if you're not. Like the Mexican saying, nadie sabe lo que tiene hasta que lo ve perdido. I hope that it's not going to be too late for you to realize that. Because even though God is a loving God, he's providing you the way of salvation. He's just. And if you choose not to believe, and if you die, God is just, and you have to pay for your sins. If you don't believe in God, you're in your way to hell. That sounds horrible. Sounds kind of contradicting for a loving God. But you see, God is not going to send any of his sons to hell. But if you are not his son, you're going to end up in that horrible place. That's why he's giving you the opportunity right now. He has the plan of salvation for you right now, because he's a loving God. But it's up to you if you take it or you refuse to take it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.